Get your Bibles, turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, I'm going to give you another recipe tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about the recipe for reaping joy. The recipe for reaping joy. And I really want to help you tonight. I'm going to ask you for something that's going to be hard tonight. I'm going to need your minds and your attention. Well, one out of two is not bad, Scott. I'll take your attention. But anyway, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen. All right. Psalm 126. We're going to read the last two verses, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Keep your Bibles open. We'll use them tonight. But most people, when asked what they truly want in life, many will say joy. They really will. We somehow, though, correlate joy and happiness. Joy and happiness are nothing alike. Most people should say they want happiness in life, not joy. Happiness means pleasant happenings. Happenings that are good. Joy is not good happenings. Joy is found on the other side of pain, burden, heartache, affliction, problems, or attack. Happiness can be found anywhere. Joy is only found on the backside of opposition and problems and burdens and heartaches. Happiness is decided by the happenings going on around you. For instance, the weather is nice. That makes you happy. The sun shines. That makes people happy. My kids got along today. That makes some people happy. They didn't live in the same house, so they got along, all right? My in-laws live far away. That makes you happy. At least it does me. No. You got a bonus at work. That makes you happy. Those are things that are happenings in your life. That's what brings happiness. Joy comes not when the sun shines, but when the storms are blowing. Joy comes when it's been cloudy for a week. Joy comes when the kids are constantly fighting and bickering with one another, which is all the time. Joy comes when the in-laws are coming to town, I hope. Joy comes when you lost your job. You see, happiness is determined by the events going on around you. Joy comes in opposition to that. Let me say it this way. Joy is a pleasantness while going through bad times. Joy means as the bad times are going on, you've not lost your focus and you're not down in the mully grubs. Joy is focusing on the eternal, not the temporary. Happiness is so short-sighted that it can only see what's happening now. Joy is able to see far off. Happiness can only see what's happening right now. In other words, joy does not allow the happenings to affect the attitude or spirit with which they do things. Happiness is dictated by what's going on right now. In other words, joy must have the negative or it's only happiness. If there is no negative, there is no joy, because joy requires negative in order to be there. That means joy without negativity is merely happiness. By the way, happiness is not bad. But guess what? Not everything in life is happy. You don't go to the funeral home happy, but you can have joy. You don't go to the hospital happy, but you can have joy. Joy has to have opposition for it to prove itself. Now, I'm going to get into this tonight, and I believe we'll be done before 8 o'clock. God gives us a recipe for joy. Let me give you the four ingredients, and then we'll talk about them quickly. Number one, tears. Number two, going forth with tears. Number three, bearing precious seed. Number four, coming again. So it's tears, going forth with tears, bearing precious seed, and then coming again. Now, let's start into these a little closer here. Notice Psalm 126, verse number 5. They that sow or plant in tears shall reap in joy. You have to have tears to get joy. You don't plant corn and get soybeans. You don't plant soybeans and get alfalfa. You have to plant what you're going to reap, and you're going to reap what you plant. You can't plant an apple tree and expect to get cherries. It just doesn't work that way. God says when you sow tears, you can reap joy. Now, tears don't come when you're happy. Right, Ben?
Amen.
Now, you ladies don't quite understand all of that, but tears are generally associated with not being happy.
Right.
All right? Tears are a sign of pain or a broken heart. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 42. I'm going to show you three quick verses in Psalm here. Psalm 42, and obviously I have limited the number of verses I use because we could just be here all night looking at one passage, but Psalm 42, look at verse number 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Who? They have been continually unto me. Look at Psalm 56, just a few pages over. Psalm 56, look at verse number 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Notice somebody's crying in order to get God's attention to help. You don't, when the enemy's attacking, you're not happy. Look at Psalm 80. Just a few more pages over. Psalm 80. Psalm 80, verse number 5, the Bible says, and I just passed by it here. There it is. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Boy, does that sound like a lovely meal, doesn't it? In other words, tears are a sign of a broken heart, opposition, war, pain, sickness, etc. Now, listen to this statement. Joy has to be watered by tears, or it is only happiness. Joy must be watered with tears, or it is mere happiness. Joy is paid for by tears. They that sow in tears reap in joy. You pay for joy with tears. The more tears, the more potential for joy that you have. The happiest man I ever met in my life was a man named Dr. Jack Hiles. He was one of the most congenial, truly happy men I've ever met in my whole life. The man that I know that wept more than any human being I know alive is a man named Dr. Jack Hiles. I watched that man preach thousands of times. I sat on the platform with him virtually every service for years. I never watched him preach a sermon without tears flowing down his face. Never watched him counsel without tears flowing from his face. Never a time. Say, why is that? He used to say, life is a veil of tears. And yet he was the happiest, joyous, most joyous man you've ever met. Why is that? Because you pay for joy with tears. Listen to this statement. Bitterness focuses on the tears and the happenings. Joy sees the eternal things through the tears. If you have bitterness in your life, bitterness means you're looking at what hurt you. You're not looking through what hurt you to see what's on the other side. Bitterness cries because it hurts self. Joy looks past what hurt and said, I'm going to get over here and find what's on the other side. You get rid of bitterness by tears. The Bible talks about a man named Judas Iscariot. He betrayed the Son of God. He betrayed Jesus. He was actually, in my opinion, I wouldn't fight you over this, but I believe Satan actually entered, Satan incarnate into Judas when he gave up Jesus in the garden. He took the 30 pieces of silver back to the temple, back to the high priest, and said, I betrayed innocent blood. And he threw the money down, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly and hanged himself. He wept bitterly and hanged himself. He didn't look through it the right way. He looked at what he did. He didn't look at the Savior who could have saved him. He actually kissed the very blood that could have washed his sin away. Joy demands tears to see the eternal. Your tears with joy become like a magnifying glass. They actually allow you to look past the hurt and see beyond it if you'll allow them to. Bitterness holds on to the pain. Bitterness says, I don't know why God allowed that to happen. Ooh, be careful. Bitterness says, well, God, why did you do that to so-and-so? That's not fair, God. That's bitterness. Bitterness is every time you get into a little bit of a tight spot, you remind somebody of something that happened back in 1976, you know. Well, you're just like, okay, that's not really going to fix the situation. Joy demands tears as a magnifying glass or a microscope or a telescope, however you want to say it, that will look through what is hurting you to get to the other side to find the good on the other side. So tears must be sown in order for there to be joy. Number two. This one's going to be a little harder. Are you ready? Going forth with tears or with weeping. Look at verse number 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Notice those two things go together. It's going forth and weeping. Now, listen to this very carefully here. The word go forth means to continue on. In other words, you're supposed to continue on as you weep. So joy comes when opposition comes your way. It comes to you. You feel pain, but you look past it and you keep going. Do you know what happens when you keep going when you're hurting? You'll walk past that which hurt you. Do you know what bitterness is? I'll show you what bitterness is. Stay right there. Pain or opposition comes to you. You begin to weep and you stay there and you face it. And that's all you do. You don't go anywhere with it. And you begin to abide with it. You let it into your home and take it everywhere you go. If you go to work, you take it with you. If you go to the store, you take it with you. If you go to church, you take it with you. If you go home, you take it with you. And that's what bitterness is. You don't keep going forth and get by it. You just stay with it. Bitterness builds inside you, and it is stuck to you like a cancer. Begins to eat away at you. The problem is you didn't keep going. Have a seat. Thank you. Bitterness is stopping and focusing on what hurts. Bitterness is focusing on that opposition that you don't want in your life right now. Look at Psalm 30. Oh, this is, many of you ought to memorize this verse. Psalm 30, verse number 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, wait a minute. Joy comes in the morning? Yeah, but he didn't say stop crying at night either. He said he's going to be mad. You're going to cry all night long, but joy's waiting for you in the morning. The sun's coming up. Just because somebody got mad doesn't mean the sun's not coming up tomorrow. Even God can get mad at you, but the sun's coming up tomorrow. Right. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and I almost hate to do this, but it just illustrates it so well that I've got to do this. John chapter 11, I'm going to read about 15 verses here. So hang on. Look at verse number 30. This is in reference to the story of Lazarus. Remember, Lazarus got sick and Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. Jesus didn't come and Lazarus died. And Jesus waited 3 days to show up. And then Lazarus healed him by resurrecting him from the dead. Look at verse number 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. Notice they were at the house. They didn't continue. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her, what? Weeping. And the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. What are the next two words? Jesus wept. Some of you, that's the only verse in the Bible you can memorize. Even Ellen's got a shot at that one, amen? Jesus wept. Look at verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? And what happened? They opened up that tomb, and Lazarus come walking forth. I want you to notice something there. It took tears to bring the joy. They were upset that they didn't get a healing, but Jesus saw a resurrection through the tears. They were looking for simply Lazarus to be healed. Jesus said, I got something bigger for y'all. He said, I'll hurt for you because you're hurting. I'll even weep because you're hurting, but you don't know what's coming. I do. And he hurt with them because they did not see what he could see. Joy is going forth as you weep to find the ability to go on to the other side of the tears. You have to keep going to find joy. Joy does not stop when the tears stop. The gravestone is still going to be there, and the tears may still flow. The pain will still be there, and the tears may flow, but joy can get through it to the other side. By the way, weeping and not going ends up in depression or bitterness. Weeping without going leads to depression. If you get to a point where all you do is sit and cry, you're depressed. That comes because you don't go, you just sit. Now listen to this very carefully. Going forth means literally to stay in schedule or routine. Do you know the best way to get out of depression? Get into a routine. Do you know the best way to get through heartache and pain and sorrow? Go back to routine. I know the psychologists tell you somebody passed away. You need to take 6 months off before you go back to work. No, what you ought to do is take time off for the funeral and making the arrangements and doing what you got to do. But the first thing you do is hop back in the saddle and get back into schedule. The more out of schedule you get, the more depressed you'll be. You're talking to somebody that gets bad news all the time. You're talking to somebody that sat in the car today while the doctor told Wally, "We're calling hospice." I know what that means. She's a nurse. She knows what it means. I know it more than most. That's not a real comfortable place to be in. I was in the car when my phone rang after I dropped them off at their house, and I got the phone call that somebody's daughter's just messed their life up, an adult lady, and she's on crack and ruining her marriage and ruining her life and ruining her health. Ruin her parents. Oh, my heart broke. And then I get word during that phone call, and I get the voicemail, "Your permit's in from the county." Now, wait a minute. Joy is being able to look past those heartaches. Does it take the heartache away? No, it does not, but I got to stay in schedule. I've got to stay in the rhythm of things so that I can get through those hard days. And please don't get mad at me if you've said this. I didn't hear you say it. But I've heard it said thousands of times. "Oh, the hardest place for me to go after somebody dies is church." I'm thinking, why? That ought to be the place you run to, not run away from. I don't get that. Maybe it's because I live more of my life here than anywhere else. I don't know, but I do know this. The best thing for you when heartache comes is schedule. When opposition comes, it's schedule. When pain comes, it's schedule. When it's attack, it's schedule. Oh, I've been attacked. I've had pain. I've had heartache. I've had bad news. You say, what do you do, preacher? I stay in schedule. I think that when somebody passes away, you ought to grieve by schedule. You put it into your schedule and say, I'm going to grieve at this time, but only that time. If something comes to you before, then you say, not time for that. I'll do it at that time, not this time. Most people get depressed because they let the happenings rule them, and they get depressed. Or they get bitter and they start thinking, well, I wonder why God allowed that to happen and why did this happen? And I bet you it was that doctor, and the doctor should have. And boy, we start thinking through all the scenarios to make us feel better, and you make yourself angry and bitter and depressed. Why? Because you got out of schedule. The best thing for you to do is get right back in schedule. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. As you go on in tears, you get strength. Sitting there doing nothing, you lose strength. You don't gain strength by going on vacation after pain. As you focus on the routine, you don't focus on the hurt. Your routine is what will get you off your mind, off of the hurt, so that you're strong enough to carry the hurt when it's time to think about the hurt. Boy, that's a good statement. I'm gonna burst your bubble. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. I don't know how many times this verse is misused, but it's probably more times than it's used right. Philippians 4:4 is one of the most famous verses in the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. Do you know what the word rejoice means? Rejoy. To joy again. It's in the Greek, it's in the linear tense, which means to rejoice and 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 to rejoice. And it's repetitive. It's not phine. Sorry, I had to say that. DC Alfine. DC Alfine. The word rejoice means to rejoy, means to keep joying. Well, to keep joying means what? Keep having heartache and pain. It means going forth with weeping. Sitting still with weeping leads to depression or bitterness. So one of the keys to joy is to keep on going. You don't need time away. You don't need to change your schedule. You don't need to lessen your schedule. You need to cry as you do your daily routine. On February 6, 2001, we got word that Brother Hiles passed away. He had been through heart surgery and different things, but he died early morning, February 6, 2001, I'm sorry. I remember standing in the hallway outside his office where the church staff would meet every morning at 8 o'clock for prayer meeting. This is about 8:40 that morning. They called us in and said, we need to meet, and we all knew right then what it was. We stood in the hallway, and one of the men stepped up and said, at such and such time, Brother Hiles went to heaven. There was about 35, 40 of us in the hallway there, and almost in unison, everybody just burst into tears. I watched people just explode and sob and weep. They let that happen for about 2 minutes. Brother Colston said, well, let's pray. You had to know Brother Colston. He's about as dry as last year's Christmas tree. He preached the first sermon after Brother Hiles died. It was entitled, It's Jammy Time. Jammy Time. You know, when you're just ready to quit for the day and you look forward to jammy time. He said, well, it's jammy time, folks. And he preached a whole sermon. I don't remember anything other than that. I don't remember one thing he said other than it's and we all just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Brought the humor back to a church that just lost their pastor. But we were all in the hallway. After about 2 minutes, Brother Colston prayed. And it was almost in one breath, everybody went, and you heard through the whole hallway, time to go back to work. We got to get to work. And I watched people just break and go to their offices. My office was on the fourth floor. I ran up four flights of stairs. My heart was crushed. There's three or four of us assistant pastors up there, and to be honest with you, I wanted to fall apart. One of them said, look, we've got to carry this church on our shoulders to get through the next week or two. We can't afford to fall apart right now. Oh, great. Thanks. We got to hold everybody else together. Thinking, yeah, who's going to hold me together right now? I hadn't been in my office 5 minutes, and my phone rang, and it was Rose O'Brien. There were two people to fear on that church staff. Rose O'Brien and the financial secretary. You didn't cross either one of them, or you were done. Okay? Didn't matter who you were. When you watch Brother Heil say, I got to go talk to Rose. Pray for me. Or I got to go talk to Judy. Would you fellas pray for me? That was their reputation. But Rose loved me. She called me. She said, now, Brother Bush, I need you to tell me something. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've had four people tell me I need to go home because Brother Hiles died. But my job is to be here answering phones, telling people what's going on. I said, okay. She said, what should I do? I said, Rose, what would Brother Hiles tell you to do? She'd say, he'd tell me to stay here and answer phones. And I said, I think you ought to answer phones. She said, good, thanks. Hung up the phone. I didn't say nothing. She wasn't mad at me. That's all that mattered to me. The best thing for her was to answer that phone. That was her getting back into routine to be able to deal with it. 5 weeks later, we hosted a nationwide pastors conference. Try that one. 7,000 people. There was over 20,000 people at his funeral. Actually, over 30,000. Over 50,000 people filed by his casket. Unbelievable. George H.W. Bush sat in the balcony of the first funeral for him. I never saw so many flowers and plant arrangements in my life. I know there were 10,000 floral arrangements plus there. I was partially in charge of them. They were everywhere. There wasn't a florist in the South Chicago or Northwest Indiana area that had any flowers left. It was unbelievable. You say, what was that? We had to keep rejoicing ourselves. We had to cry and keep going. We had to cry and keep going and cry and keep going. Get back into routine. That will help you to rejoice. Then bear precious seed. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, watch this, bearing precious seed. The word bear means to march or go on or stand up or stand tall. Pick your chin up, throw your shoulders back, and say, I'm going to walk through this. I don't feel like it. I feel like sitting down, curling up in a ball, and crying. But I'm going to stand up, pick my chin up, and I'm going to keep on walking. Amen. That's what the word bear means. And then precious seed means valuable possession. I happen to do a little study. Let me give you about eight things. I'm not going to tell you to turn. I'll give you the scripture reference, but I'll tell you what it is. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says that the word of God is precious. Ooh, that's something worth bearing, the word of God. God said in 1 Samuel 26, 21, my soul is precious. That's my feelings, my attitude, my disposition. 2 Kings 1, 3 says that my life is precious in God's eyes. Believe it or not, Psalm 116, verse 15 says the death of his saints is precious. My life is precious, but the death of his saints are precious. You say, why? Because God gets to spend time with them face to face then. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 15 says, wisdom is precious. 1 Peter 1, 7, 2 Peter 1, 1 says that faith is precious. The most holy, precious faith. 1 Peter 1, 19 says that the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, God says we're supposed to take these precious things and go bear them as we go forth. We're to take the word of God. We're to have our spirit. We're to have our life. We're the death through, even through the death of saints. We should not grieve that badly. Wisdom, a good name, Ecclesiastes 7:1. Not sure I mentioned that one. I think I missed that one. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Those eight things God says we can take with us as we cry, if we'll work on using those things and bearing those things, guess what? God says, hold your chin up, you're going to get through this and find joy. Keep marching in spite of the opposition. In the military, it's called continue at the last command. You're to keep marching and keep marching and keep marching and keep marching and keep marching till they tell you to stop. That's exactly what God said we're supposed to do when we bear precious seed. We take these precious things that he has in the word of God and we're to carry it whether we feel like doing it or not. Right. Please don't get mad at me. Do you think I always feel like preaching what I preach? It's not like I go on the internet. Ain't nobody going to print anything like that. It's not let's get the sermons of the week and get them sent to you and just browse them before we come. So we're to bear precious seed. And then number four, I must hurry. God says, come again with rejoicing. Come again. Notice that word with rejoicing or rejoicing. As you continue on in tears, bearing precious seed, you will come back to another day ready to rejoice and do it again. I can't tell you that which causes pain or that which caused hurt is going to be gone tomorrow, but I do know that if you march through today bearing precious seed as you weep, that when the sun comes up tomorrow morning, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And you can get up and say, I made it yesterday, I'm going to do it again today. And as you get through the next day, you say, I got another day coming, but joy's coming in the morning. And you get all the way back here, and before too long, you're back in routine, doing what you're supposed to do. It didn't take the hurt away. It doesn't make it hurt any less, but you're able to carry the hurt as you go through. Amen. I tell people this all the time. When you lose somebody, that pain never goes away. But you do learn how to carry it. You lose a child, the pain never goes away, but you do learn how to carry the pain. Amen. You can find joy in spite of the pain. You lose a parent early in life. You can that hurts. That's painful. Cancer is painful. We could go through any scenario you want, but may I say this, you can keep going and get the strength you need by keep going. Boy, that's good. Life keeps going, and you need to be ready for another day. Say, how do you get ready for another day? Get through today. When the attack comes, don't get too long-sighted. Just focus on getting through today. And tomorrow, focus on getting through tomorrow. And the next day, you focus on getting through the next day. It's one step at a time before too long. You might be able to look a couple days ahead. Right. Then for too long, it's kind of like when you're rearing your kids and they're real little. You know, you paddle them every day. If you got boys, you paddle them every hour. Seems like. And if not, you should have. But, you know, then there comes a point in time where you're not paddling them every day, but it seems like they might go a day or two without getting swatted. But then they need it again just to put them back in line. And then it's about once a week. Then it's once every couple weeks. Then it's once every couple months. And before too long, it's not very often. Say, that's kind of like joy. You get the strength to keep on going. Now, for a while there, you're not sure they're ever going to live through it. You're not sure you're going to live through it. But eventually, you get through that point, and the same thing is true with pain and heartache and attack. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know there's a new day coming. And guess what? Whether you want it to come or not, it's coming. You will have to keep looking through the tears, but you'll make it if you keep going. Amen. Joy happens when you keep going in spite of the tears. And you only get joy by tears. You'll get bitterness with tears, but that's because you stopped. Bitterness is stopping. Depression is stopping. Joy is continuing on in spite of the tears. Boy, that's good. I think this is, you say, I think this is the only hard time I'm going to have. No, it's not. I've lived enough life to know this might be bad, but it's not the last bad thing coming to you. There's more bad coming. I hate to disappoint you. They called World War I the Great War, the war to end all wars. Boy, were they wrong on that one, weren't they? They thought World War II would end all wars. In less than 10 years, we were fighting in Korea. Thought we were done. In less than 6 years, 7 years, we were fighting in Vietnam. And we've been in Afghanistan, Iraq, and all over the place. Saudi Arabia, all over the place with war. War doesn't stop. There's only one time when war's going to stop, and that's when Jesus comes back and kicks a snot out of the devil and his crowd. We'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the only time there'll be peace on the earth for 1,000 years at a time. So, let me give you the recipe and I'm done. Tears must be sown. You must go forth with tears and weeping. You bear precious seed. You come again with rejoicing. What's the result? Look at verse number 6 in Psalm 126 one last time. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his what? Sheaves with him. Ooh, what are sheaves? That's not a seed. Those are plants that have lots of fruit on them. God says you might plant a seed of joy in verse 5, but as you go through the process, you're going to reap sheaves. In other words, it's going to keep happening, but you're going to have more built up to be able to take it when it comes. And you're going to be able to look through it with somebody else and say, it's okay, you're going to make it. We'll help you get through this. Last thing I said to Wally today. She put her hands, one on both sides of my hand, and patted my hand. She said, "Preacher, I've never had a church before. Never had a pastor who cared before." She said, "I just love my church and I love my church family. I don't know how I could do this without you." I said, "You just call. We're here for you." She says, "I know. I know, and I'll call. You know I will." I said, "I know now." That's called bringing your sheaves with you. I know where this road leads. But I got enough joy saved up in bundle loads, we're going to help get her through. Amen? Amen? That's what it's called. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You're going to do this over and over. And when the harvest comes, you'll reap a great harvest of joy. But that joy is going to be watered with tears. It's not going to be oppositionless. It's going to be hot. It's going to be wet. It's going to be death. But man, something can grow through all that. Except corn and wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But boy, you let God nurture that thing and up it comes and it produces. That's what joy is. The recipe of reaping a joy. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't let the tears be wasted into bitterness and depression. Each time those things come, it's an opportunity for joy. Don't let it turn into bitterness and depression.